Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is our weekly Thursday evening bracket rundown podcast, if I'm on the right show. I'm your host, Chad
Sherwood. Welcome to Under the Radar, everybody.
No, yeah, we did that last night. Oh, over there is David Griggs. Joey Fortson down below me. John Todd Tell to his side. This is our bracket rundown show. What we first of all, we're recording this a little after 10 p.m. on Thursday, January 28th. I say that because there's a few games going on tonight as we record this and after we record this that might impact some of the things we discuss. They're not going to be taken into account unless they go final before we're done. Most notably, the Stanford-Arizona game that just tipped off as we're recording this.
I think that's Arizona's fighting for about a 8 or 9.
Stanford is, though. It definitely affects Stanford. And that's why I mentioned more so. Sorry, Ty Tell. Yeah. The Stanford end of things that rather
it has AC8 implications, maybe.
This is our bracket rundown show. And what I'm going to do is go right ahead here and pull up the screen that we are going to be using tonight for our bracket rundown. What we are going to be doing tonight is kind of mimicking what the actual NCAA tournament committee does over the course of about a week. And we're going to be doing it in under an hour. Mm-hmm. What we're going to be doing is choosing as of right now, what 68, or at least, you know, through the end of the at-large bids, total at the end of the show, we will have all 68 teams who should be in the NCAA tournament, and we'll have them seeded 1 through 68, a seed list here, 1 through 68. After the show, I will go ahead and bracket up that seed list, and you'll see a final bracket down below us. But if you looked at it now, David, what have you done?
You've ruined the show.
Okay.
So anyway, and even if you've seen it, maybe you haven't ruined the show. We analyze, debate, discuss, and assess all of the teams as we reveal them. This is never a consensus. It never will be. There will be disagreements. The right answer is my seed list. I think we should just bracket that and call it a night, but you insist on doing a show.
All right. A few terms we're going to use tonight. If you haven't heard them before, protected seeds means the top 4 seed lies to the top 16 teams. Inside the bubble means a team that is clearly in the field. On the bubble means you may or may not be in the field. We'll be throwing teams up under consideration over the course of the show here. And as we throw teams up, we're going to see a bunch of metrics showing up here in these various columns. I'll go ahead and do a quick example here. Let's say we put Rutgers as number 1 overall, as they deserve to be.
Yeah. Let's say that we've all been drinking.
But you can see they've got their net of 49. They've got OAR that's up for this week for the first time ever on this show. I've put the OAR on there. That is the overall average ranking. So that is how they rank. If you combine all the 7 metrics that we look at various times and you average them out and you rank them 1 through 357, that's where they rank. Strength of schedule, KenPom rating, and Joby, your J&G rating. You want to give a quick shout out to what that is?
Yeah, the J&G is, whereas Ken Pomeroy is and others measure either efficiency or how good they think a team will perform in the future, like Sagarin's. Mine is trying to predict the actual committee. So we're looking at things like tier 1 wins, you know, versus tier 2 and 3. And those are some components. The reason why it's called the nitty gritty at the end of the headline of it is because the elements of the nitty gritty sheet are some of the main components that help create the ratings.
Yeah.
And so that mathematically kind of mirror the committee, not the, not some power rating.
And the J&G rating is one of these 7 ratings that I averaged to make that OAR rating as well, along with the net, the Ken Palm, and four others. But on that note, I want to do is
okay, one more thing, Chad. Yeah. And we always forget to say this. We are not trying to guess the committee on this show. We are acting as if we are the committee. And this is sort of our own bet. We're not really trying to predict. Okay.
But what I'm going to do here is I'm going to ask each one of the 3 of you to give me 4 teams at a time, a seed line at a time. We will debate it back and forth. If there's a consensus, we move on. If there's no consensus and there needs to be a tiebreaker, I'll cast the tiebreaking vote. David, since you've screwed the bracket up all the time, I figured I'd give you the easiest line of them all. Why don't you take the 1 line for us?
Okay. Well, I mean, if I gave you one guess at who my top two are, I bet you'd get it. And of course, you'd be right. So go ahead and put
it. I'm going to type all four of them in, but go ahead. Go ahead and discuss it.
Well, Baylor, when you look at the that would be number three. Baylor, when you look at them, you can actually make a case that they belong over Gonzaga. I don't think they're better. I didn't put them up there. But a case can be made. Baylor perhaps better than what we think, even though we think that their heads and tails better than everybody else except Gonzaga. You know, at Texas Tech, at Oklahoma State, decisively a really good Oklahoma State team. The one thing about Gonzaga is that they were beating really good teams and not having to sweat to do it. Well, Baylor's doing that too. Maybe not to the degree that Gonzaga is. But the one argument for Baylor, even though – I don't think they're above Gonzaga, is their road games have been true road wins against protected seeds, whereas Gonzaga's have not. They've been neutral floor. If you had to make that argument, if it were debate class, I could. But Gonzaga, I still think, is the better among the two. They were to play each other. They didn't. That would have settled the argument once and for all who the overall number one is. And you nailed my number three. The number four is not Michigan. For me, and it's not going to be anybody you agree with, especially after the loss they had earlier this week, but it was a loss that they only had eight players available. They didn't have their head coach. I still have Texas and those two monster wins at the top of their profile is my fourth number one, simply because I just love the top of the profile so much.
Well, Tytel, let me start with you here. Texas versus – well, first of all, I assume you agree. We probably all agree with the top three teams. But how about this Texas versus Michigan debate here for number four?
It's a fair debate. I also think, actually, that Houston should be under consideration. They certainly don't have the top of the tier as much as everybody else, but they have a one-point loss on the road. They're that close to perfection. Michigan and Texas, they're both solid across the board. They both have a bunch of tier one wins, and obviously the one tier one loss is pretty bad, but it was at Minnesota when they were beating everybody in Minnesota. No shame in any of the three losses there. For the OAR fans, it's got to be Michigan.
Yeah. That's a fair point. I guess when I look at the three losses, one was by 1 point with eight players and no head coach. Another was to a team that we have on the one line by 2 points. And the other one was extremely close as well. I know Texas a little bit down in the net, a little bit down in all of them, but I still think when I peel back the onion, so to speak, I still think that this is one of the better teams.
Joby, what do you think? Are you with David on Texas, you with Tytel on Michigan?
More because right now Michigan, I think they have a lot of equality in their resumes. You know, fewer losses for Michigan, but you know Texas does have more tier one wins, and then the road factor that David, I think at Kansas, at West Virginia is tougher than at Maryland and at Purdue. But I think being the head with only one loss in what I believe is one of the top two conferences in America, and to be the clear cut one, they're the Baylor of their conference. Texas is not. Texas is behind Baylor. I think that does mean something in my book right now. We'll see how it plays out. But right now, if you're projecting Michigan with only one loss in what is a brutal Big Ten, that means a lot to me. And I put Michigan in that role, but Texas certainly deserves a strong consideration, but I go Michigan.
I think we're going to find out next week a lot about, you know, coming up on next Tuesday with this Baylor Texas Baylor game. But
Michigan.
But Michigan's got to play Illinois, Wisconsin, Rutgers. I mean, Michigan just the rest of their schedule. You know, Texas is going to have a few nights off there with K-State and Iowa State on the
side. True enough.
And Kentucky.
Who would have thought that Kentucky might be the easiest of the lot? But I would like to point out and brag on the J&G. Notice how you said, well, Texas is down in all these metrics. Not in the J&G. They're a two seed in the J&G, and that's where I think they will wind up on our field. I at least would say they're the next team up in my
book. I think we've got four teams here, but John T, let me go to you here for the next four teams. David, you don't get to the two line also. You just get the one.
So let's put in the great state of Texas with Houston and Texas.
Good.
I think we need to get another Big Ten team in here, since, as we said, they're the best conference in the country. And I think you can make an argument for the Badgers or the Buckeyes. I still have Iowa ahead of them, mostly due to Luka Garza. And while I'll listen to Joby's argument for Virginia if he wants to make it, I still think Alabama's run this entire month has them above.
All of you, because I realize I'm out on an island here. You're going to have to sell me a little more on Iowa.
You're not on their profile. I actually like Alabama more than Iowa, but I was certainly in the conversation here. But I actually, I agree. I think Alabama's ahead of Virginia on the seed list right now.
See, look at Iowa's profile. Good grief.
Iowa State. They're in the same state. Come on.
Yeah. But
I could pull up Drake.
Yeah.
But I think that, and Iowa doesn't, once again, at Maryland, at Rutgers, nice wins. Their tournament teams are at least NIT in the case of Maryland at a minimum. Purdue's a good win, et cetera. And Virginia doesn't have the heft. This is about, once again, I think that there are three teams that are clearly on the two line. I actually think Alabama is one of those three teams, along with Houston and Texas. Then you have about four or five teams you can make strong arguments for. A lot of them are out of the Big Ten, as John pointed out. I think the team playing the best out of those four or five teams is Virginia right now. However, Virginia, because the resume doesn't have the depth of Iowa, Ohio State, some of the other teams that we could mention here, Wisconsin, if Virginia keeps on trucking with what they're doing and undefeated in the ACC, just as my argument for Michigan was that, I think Virginia holds the same argument. But if Virginia slips up, they don't, if Ohio State or Iowa slip up, they slip a couple of spots on the seed list. Virginia risks slipping a few seed lines with a loss. So that, I think Virginia has a lot more room to go up and down compared to the others. But I think right now, given their style of play, given what they're doing on the court right now, the hotness factor, I actually do say Virginia is that team. But next week, if they slip up in Blacksburg this weekend, they could be a four or a five. It's that sort of realm. Whereas Iowa slips up, we're still talking about them here next week.
Okay, the team I like is the Buckeyes. When I say that, I like their paper, not so much as a rooting person.
Their paper's nice. I think their paper's better than Iowa's.
Let's compare them to Virginia here, especially here. Ohio State, Virginia, if we're going to replace Iowa. I think there's a compelling argument here that Ohio State over Virginia is the team. Tytel, what do you think about that? That maybe if we're going to bump your Iowa pick, as the other two of them want to do, maybe it's Ohio State and not Virginia that bumps them.
The tier one for Ohio State is great. I'll give them that. And a lot of road losses and very close losses too in tier two. It's a shame that literally a couple points away from a two seed maybe. I think it's a fair argument. I still like Virginia over the Buckeyes, but coin flip.
Yeah, well, David, I think there's a 2-1 in favor of Virginia on this as being the team that replaces Iowa we'll go for Virginia. There's a lot of eye test here in this.
I agree.
Hey, best team in the ACC. It's tough to go two seed lines without seeing an ACC team. Also,
yeah, I know. Just ignore the facts and.
Well, but you're also looking.
Hard to put Duke in, David. I don't know.
The eye test, Net and KenPom try to capture the eye test, to be very honest, with the efficiency arguments. And you do see those sixth and seventh, so it's not just, we like the way Virginia's doing. They whip Syracuse and we all don't like Syracuse because I don't like Boeheim, Zach, sort of arguments. It's actually, there is some raw data behind that as well.
I'm going to come up with my own metric.
Joby, we're up to the three line. Are we going to go with four Big Ten teams or only three of them?
Three at least. Yeah, I'll go with the three we've listed. The fourth team, and this might come little homers, but they've really looked good. If any team is good, who is the other team in the ACC if you were to pick, if it's not Virginia right now? I think Florida State, it's like they are number 12 with a bullet if in the old Billboard rankings on music. Florida State has looked just awesome since coming back off COVID. And they do have the heft in their resume. They have that awful Central Florida loss. But I actually think that is just like San Francisco with Virginia. That wouldn't happen today at all. You know, I think they would roll them and it wouldn't even be close. We would not even be talking about that game because, oh, well, Virginia, you know, Virginia beat San Francisco by double digits. Oh, well, Florida State beat Central Florida by double digits. I think that is where the games would be right now. So I don't entirely discount. That's why they're in the 3 line, not the 1 line. But I think you have to, I think you have to look at how the team's playing right now in Florida State. Not many teams playing better than them right now.
Well, John, what do you think?
It's a great argument. And all the teams that I want to put in here, like, have had bad weeks. Tennessee, bad week. Kansas, bad week. Missouri, bad week. I kind of like the idea of doing Illinois, just having all Big Ten three line, but
yeah.
I think I would go with no veto then.
Well, I'm with Tytel. Like, I know those teams had bad weeks, but they've had pretty good years. Kansas in particular has had a really bad week, but like, I still think that they top out and above a lot of the teams that we've put on there, particularly Iowa, who I know that you all like a lot more than I do. I thought I liked Florida State on the 4 line. I thought if that were to end up being my line, that you all would have been like, oh my God, how do you have them so high? And here they are higher. That's the second week in a row that's happened. I had those three teams, the exact ones that Tytel just mentioned up here.
Okay.
Even though they've had a bad week.
Well, so if we want to compare, let's take a look at Florida State versus Kansas, who scored a whopping 18 points in the first half tonight against TCU.
Well, they were playing.
What an impressive! They did win the game technically, but 5 wins in a row. They're playing as well as anybody in the country right now, I think, David. And so,
are you talking about Florida State? Yeah. Okay.
I'm talking about Florida State versus Kansas.
And then one real loss, because I discount the Central Florida one.
Yeah.
I really like the win at Louisville. I think that they deserve a lot of credit for that. But other than that, they need road wins.
After the next three games, we'll see if they have the road wins, David.
Yeah. And I just don't think they're there yet. North Carolina, bubble-ish at best. Same with Indiana. Clemson, probably still safely inside the bubble, although you want to talk about bad weeks. Holy crap.
I'll tell you,
they won last night, and that's
they did. Important.
Clemson stopped the bleeding last night. They're going to be wearing white in this field.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what, Dave. What I will do,
wearing white.
Yeah, Dave. What I will do is I'll give you the 4 line. I think we do have two people that like Florida State, so they're going to stay there. But we have Tennessee, Kansas, and Missouri all under consideration. If you want all three in, I'll put them in.
And we got Ohio State in. Yeah, Tennessee, Kansas. I actually have Creighton, and not quite yet. My next team ahead of Missouri is the Pokes. I here we go again. Me, pimping Oklahoma State. I have
Oklahoma State even. You have Oklahoma State above Missouri, then.
Yes, by one. It's really close, so I'm not going to freak out too much. But I know I asked this last week, but it perplexes me again as soon as it gets done loading here. Okay, at Texas Tech, great win. Really good. Texas Tech, tough to beat at home. Kansas, they're already in there. The wins, those are pretty solid road wins, even if they're not against teams that are solidly inside the bubble. Those are teams that are solid at home. Texas, who we already have in, a 3-point loss. They did hang in with Baylor. I know Baylor like blew it open in the last 10 minutes of the game, but still, how is it that their metrics are 30s and 40s? Like, how is their net 39? I don't understand entirely how you could have a profile like that and it's 39.
Beating Oral Roberts by 5, thus it makes it look like a team you should have blown the doors off of. You kind of limped past. Oakland wasn't a blowout. Yeah, I mean, it's those. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well,
some explanation because
I'm asking for the explanation, and that's the only thing I could point to, Joby, is that they're not blowing out the sub 200 teams, but they're beating them.
I'll tell you what. We've got a debate here, though. Tytel, do you think David's right about Oklahoma State and Creighton being on this line over Missouri?
I don't. They certainly are trending in the right direction. I mean, losing to Baylor for the Pokes is certainly nothing to lose sleep over. It's just a shame. Like, look at all those, like, 3-point losses, 1-point loss. Like, they're so close. and Cade Cunningham's out, so they certainly have that in their back pocket. Missouri, though, like, I understand that there's losses there, but I really like the fact that there's a whole bunch of Tier 1 stuff. And again, the OAR is not even close.
Yeah, and Joby, real quickly, does Creighton belong up here also, as David put it?
Yeah, and by the way, the team I'm not in love with, and maybe I'm going to have recency bias, is we just blindly put Tennessee at 13, and I'm like, woo, okay.
Let's pull them up. I looked at them pretty
close. I like Creighton here. Yes,
so, I do. So we'll leave Creighton here, but you know, maybe we leave Oklahoma State and we take Tennessee out to put
They're
Missouri into this line.
So badly. That was not a 9-point game against Missouri. Missouri just demolished them in Knoxville. And then Florida, 75-49. I mean, they're playing badly.
They got the home win over Mississippi State by 3. They did not look good in that game.
No, they look bad.
Yeah, they have looked really bad.
You could argue they should have lost it. They're not playing well. And so
this is going to be an awful game on Saturday against Kansas. Neither team plays.
That'll tell us a lot, because the loser could go into a further tailspin extremely easily. Especially Kansas, because Kansas has a tougher road in the Big 12 than Tennessee does in the SEC. I'm not saying dump Tennessee from the field, but I don't like them 13th overall. I don't like them on the 3 line. I could live with them on the latter half of the 4 behind some other Big 12 teams, to be very honest, that we haven't mentioned yet. But I, you know, besides even Oklahoma State,
Texas,
West Virginia.
It looks like we have a debate here. Tennessee, Oklahoma State, Missouri, for 2 spots.
I like Missouri though. Missouri's win, because they did so well. I do like Missouri.
Tennessee did blast Mizzou at Mizzou. Right. And I realize it wasn't in the last week. Back,
Mizzou and recency bias did the same thing in Knoxville. It was not a 9-point game. It was much more than that.
Well, I've heard some love for Missouri from both Titel.
Well, the problem, Chad, Kansas is on the 3 line, so Mizzou has to be on the 6.
Oh, buzzer won't stop. There we go. John, let me bring you back in here, because we're trying to get this line finished up here. Tennessee, Oklahoma State, or do you want to say it's a third team entirely for this last team?
I will hold my Illinois vote because nobody else likes them. So if I had to pick between these two, it's the OAR and it's Tennessee, and it's not close.
I'm kind of with you. A quick note on Oklahoma State. They might not be eligible for the tournament if their appeal gets heard and they lose it. But we are assuming that their appeal is not going to get heard in time for the tournament as of now. So as a result, Oklahoma State is eligible, but not in quite yet. John, why don't I go to you, though, for our next 4 teams, see if you want Oklahoma State in, you want Illinois in, do you want somebody else in?
I want Illinois in. I'm sorry I'm the only one. Like, all they do is, like, lose very close games to good teams and beat several teams in the best conference in the country. We can put Oklahoma State in here just to get David off my back. As far as some other teams, I think that the Big 12 teams, like Joby mentioned, West Virginia and Texas Tech, belong around here. I could listen to some Pac-12 schools, but I think that since the Big 12 is better, they're the ones who are more deserving.
Put West Virginia and Texas Tech right here on this line.
I got a team for you.
It's the all Big 12 line. You know, we had a whole Big 10 line, so now we have an all Big 12 line.
It is a Big 12. I just made that connection. Talk about a team that's had a good week. Are you thinking the same one, the Sooners?
Yeah. I don't know if I like Oklahoma yet, but yeah. I'm with you on the – once again, I'm playing recency.
That's pretty good. I mean, that's a hell of a week. But Kansas and Texas.
I think it's not – it's definitely not an outrageous statement by any stretch. I do think over the course of the year the others have, and they are not stumbling badly – like, you know, the arguments I made earlier, that team's like Tennessee stumbling badly right now. So that's why I like Missouri more.
The team I put them up against here, Oklahoma, I put them up against that Illinois team that 2 weeks ago, I was all for Illinois being in here. I was with John. And David, you've been slowly convincing me here, because when you dig into this Illinois profile, I love the metrics, but they have five losses. They have only one tier one win, and it's not against a tournament team. I mean, and they have no road wins against a tournament team. What they've done is they've beaten Minnesota at home, and Minnesota cannot win on the road.
Yeah.
They've beaten Purdue at home, and they've beaten Indiana at home. So I'll give them two wins, Purdue and Indiana. And those are tier two-ish wins. They're, they're tournament teams, but teams we have not discussed yet.
Right. They're holding serve, and they may have it in them. They go to Indiana. IU really on a roll lately, so they would deserve a lot of credit for that if they won that. Iowa, who we have in.
They got Iowa at home. Yeah. They win this game here coming up tomorrow. It's a totally different
win. Iowa, that's
They are in a stretch to where if they win three of the next four, I am all about the Illini, but I'm not there yet.
I'm going to throw a team that I think righted the ship. I would – If you had asked me 2 nights ago, this team would not be coming out of my mouth right now. But the fact that they did get a win against a tournament team, now we can go back to looking at their resume as opposed to the absolute barf fest that came off COVID. And that's Clemson. Their resume is very nice, and they settled it down with the Louisville win.
Well, here's Clemson, who now is the Alabama win, the Florida State win, the Purdue win, the Louisville win.
I mean, it's just awesome.
I mean, well, John, let me ask you that. Why not Clemson here over one of these four teams?
They're approaching that territory, and I think that if you guys want to put them in here, I think that we could. I think it's more, as much as I agree with Joby's recency bias, I think that the roller coaster went down a little too far that it can come back up this high.
Well, David, what team would you pull out of these four, and who would you put? Is Oklahoma the pick you'd put in?
And I know that that's really bizarre to
Which one would you pull?
Illinois. I would pull Illinois out.
And Joby, you want to pull Illinois out also?
I like both of those teams, Clemson and Oklahoma, more than Illinois, but it's not a tragedy to have Illinois there by any stretch.
Yeah, you got he'll see it in a second.
Well, at this point, we've got three teams that you each making a spot for here: Clemson, Oklahoma, or Illinois to finish this out. And at the end of the day, I got to say, if you want to go by the profile, on the top of the profile, I think you got to go. You got to go with Clemson with the Alabama with those wins.
Two of those teams already on our field. The one,
it's the same thing with Oklahoma. It's very close, I think, here.
Well, yeah, Oklahoma gets Alabama at home. And the way they've been playing, that Alabama will probably win that game. But it wouldn't shock me at all if the Sooners got them.
I guess I have more faith in Clemson than they've done it all season. That's why I'm going to make Clemson the tiebreaker pick here. Okay. I think Oklahoma and Illinois should be on this next line. They better be on this next line.
If they hadn't beaten Louisville, Clemson would be like three lines lower, because we'd just be going, what's going on there? Louisville's huge.
Joby, I think Oklahoma and Illinois need to be on the sixth line, but it is your line, so.
I agree.
Okay.
Oklahoma and Louisville. Oklahoma and Illinois. Let's.
I have Illinois on this line, so if you want
to
know.
I am going
not
to.
Not all heat here.
All right. I'm going to go with what John was mentioning earlier. I think it is time to pull out a Pac-12 team, even with the recent loss. I think UCLA probably deserves to be here. And I'm going to set up a pretty darn good game between a 2 seed and a 6 seed for this weekend with the Hokies.
I love that line.
You love the line. So, Titel, do you love the line? Because if you do, we're moving on out to the next line.
Last week, I would have liked it. Joby, I'm really concerned about the Hokies with the DUI and the suspension.
Yeah, that's true. John. I want to see this weekend before burying them. But, yeah, that could be a huge – not just the loss of a player, but also the distraction within it, because they were humming along. I loved what the teamwork that Virginia Tech was showing all the way around, when I thought it was just an assemblage of pieces that needed to be melded, they seemed to meld pretty well. If all of a sudden you yank a cog out, does that create a disastrous result? Not just we're not quite as good, they beat Villanova. They have the potential to be a protected seed on their on how they've played at times this year.
Well, you know, John, so who would you have in? If we don't go with Vautech, what team that plays in the state of Utah would you have in here on this at this spot?
Love it. I think that you stick with the best conference in the country in the Big Ten, and you look for somebody like Minnesota or Purdue.
Okay, so you look at let's pull up this Minnesota profile here, David. What about putting Minnesota instead of Vautech at this point? I hate asking you this because they have no road wins, but they're going to get their road test this weekend. Next week. Yeah.
Well, the answer is I have Minnesota as the team right behind Vautech, and because when you look at it, you are talking about. You know, the win at Michigan, even though it was at home, Michigan hasn't lost much at home or on the road. They deserve credit for that. Same with Ohio State. From St. Louis on down, I'm a little less impressed by that. But and they have not played well on the road. But what we're getting into, in my opinion, is teams that don't really top out at all. You know, not at least not like Minnesota. And there's nothing bad on their profile.
Right. Well, Minnesota,
you know, they need a road. Like them as much as Vautech, but I like them in this area. Yeah. Okay.
You look at Purdue on the left there now, the sweep of Ohio State, great. The loss to Miami, I know it was back at the beginning of the season when Miami was a little bit better than they've become. Train wreck they've become, but but it's
My seed list reads, and that's a good point. In looking at it again, my seed list reads Vautech, Minnesota, Purdue, but I could easily flip Purdue for Minnesota.
I'll tell you what, David, we're gonna leave the sixth line alone because two of you liked the Vautech pick, and you're up next. So I assume the Minnesota and Purdue are the next two teams.
Yes.
Why don't you give me two more seven seeds though?
Illinois, we need to move them down. oh man, it's getting okay. So we've got
I'm helping you out here, David.
Yeah, Colorado and Florida. Where in again, I don't if you ask me to defend them, there isn't much substance there, but we're sort of running out of teams of substance.
Okay, well I got to bring up the team that I think that we're missing right now. Where is BYU at this point?
Way up here until yesterday.
Okay.
I have them. Okay, I
still think one bad loss by 3 points on the road does not kill you.
Well, it didn't kill them. I mean, I knocked them down to the nine.
Right, but who have they beaten that we've put in our field? Nobody. Who have they beaten that is for sure in this field? For sure. I think either Utah State or San Diego State may make this.
Those are three pretty good road wins, but
those are good road wins, but it's not.
Okay, but Joby, who is Colorado beat that we put in this field? There they are on the right.
USC will be in this field. Oregon will be this field.
But the question was, who have we beat that we've put in this field? That's what you asked me at BYU. Right. I'm just asking the same question that JT did.
Arizona was standing because they are not eligible. Pepperdine's not getting in this field. All of Colorado's losses are to people who will be in our field,
Washington.
barring the NCAA investigation.
You got the Washington loss, which is just as bad as the Pepperdine loss.
Well, if you're going
that's
to bring
fair. Facts,
I mean, come on.
Yeah, I had BYU on the 8, Chad, if you're wanting to know where I had them. So I had them in this vicinity, and up until yesterday, I would have had them in the 25-28 range, so probably on the 7. And I don't know, like Florida is when you look at the paper, it's kind of hard to defend putting them there, but the win against Tennessee really impressed me. I really kind of like how they're playing now. I hate to say that I went with the eye test because they're just, that's, you know what, just swap BYU for Florida.
I thought you just kind of convinced me that Florida's better, but let me go to John for the call here. David's line here. Are you with him on the Minnesota, Purdue, Colorado, Florida? Are you with me that maybe BYU or are you on somebody else?
Pretty good line. I'm still uncertain about Florida just because the Keontae Johnson injury, I think, throws the whole seating into some question, but I do not see any major veto for this line.
Joby, are you with David on the line then too?
I think I'm fine with it.
Okay, well let's go on to the next line then. And John, let me go back to you for it. Give me four teams for the eight line.
Let's get BYU in there despite the horrific loss to Pepperdine. Let's get
Louisville. Okay.
Louisville, despite not so bad loss to a Clemson team who's already in. As far as two others, I think that the Ducks are in the discussion only because they haven't played in a month, it seems like. And if we're going to get one Pac-12 team in there, let's get a team that's actually won today in the Trojans.
Okay, so you get Oregon and USC, despite the loss to the Beavers, huh? You have Oregon here. I guess maybe they'd be a lot higher if they hadn't lost to the Beavers. But, Joby, what do you think of these four teams?
You're choosing between, do I like this team or not like this team? It's tough because, you know, Xavier is a team we could talk about here. It's tough to fully. If Stanford wins tonight, I'd actually.
You like them that much? Wow.
Yeah. With this, after UCLA win, I'd agree with him, but they don't have won this game yet.
But they haven't won this game, and so they haven't gotten there yet. They need to prove it. It's tough to fully condemn any of the choices. I'm not as big on Oregon because of the pause, but I'm not riled up.
I'm not either because I have everybody close. There is another team I want us to look at, and that's UConn.
I think that's a team that I had in mind, in fact. So let's pull UConn up. Pull them up. I'll pull them up. I'll put Xavier up also. We mentioned them.
Yeah.
They should be coming up here in a second. There they are. UConn, the one bad loss, which is a pretty darn bad loss and just as bad as the Pepperdine loss on BYU's profile, in my opinion.
Holding serve two wins,
not as many games. The problem is the lack of games compared to some of these other teams we're talking about.
Yeah, correct. And when you look at sort of like what they've done, the win against USC, Marquette is a decent win. I would argue that Butler really isn't, and neither is anything else. But they're kind of holding serve, and their losses both to Creighton, other than the horrific St. John's. No real harm in that, and they played well in both those games.
I'll tell you, David, look at these two profiles here. I like the Xavier profile on the right better, though, with the Oklahoma.
Oh, do you?
You just wanted to put Oklahoma as a protected seed.
Well, they beat them at home.
And they don't have the St. John's loss. They have Creighton and Seton Hall. Those are respectable losses.
I did like how Xavier was playing back in, how many months ago when it was they were playing.
True. Believe it or not, off that profile, I know it sounds funny, but, Toledo's been plowing through people right now. That is a quality team.
That is
a much better team than the average person looking at the profile would think. It is worthy, and they're going to be listed on the 13 line or so, but they'll be listed in 10.
They're going to be listed on the top of the 13 line. I'll give you a little heads up here. Yeah. I really like this Toledo team. But Joby, why don't you give me the 9 seeds? Let's leave this line alone. We do have Xavier and UConn under consideration.
I'm fine with those two to kick it off. I'm going to go with the controversy. It's the 8-9 game, so let's have a little fun here. And I'm going to make, I think, John Tytel very, very squeamish because I'm going to go with the only team that has won every game against the folks in
that are on my 9-line. Me and you, Joby. Against the world.
Great.
You're going with an undefeated team. Okay, Alabama
Drake has won every game and so convincingly. It's just they just keep plowing and they got through a Missouri State test just recently.
Oh, that is beautiful.
Could have lost one of those games if they're not going to make it a special season. They are this year's Buffalo. They are this year's Wofford. Drake. Yes. And then
Joby, you know where I had Drake on my seed list? I had him 35th.
Okay. It's beautiful. Joby, give me one more team here for the
slide. And the other team that I have is in a similar vein. They have a loss to Rhode Island, but they this week proved themselves a little more, and right now they are at the top of the A-10. Ooh. I am going to, until they lose, I'm going to go with the Bonnies.
John, let me bring you in here on this. So start with the left there. This Drake team, very impressive sweep of a not a NCAA tournament caliber, but a solid Missouri State team on the road this last two nights. Is it time to put them up here? Because I think they're going to be a top 25 team come Monday at this rate.
The OAR is amazing. It's better than the Bonnies, and I like the Bonnies a lot. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Drake's going to be 20-0 when they host Loyola Chicago in mid-February for the back-to-back nights, which is going to be fantastic. But, Chad, I would send it back to you. Like, if Drake played at Rutgers tonight, who wins that game, for example?
I honestly don't know. That's how impressed I've been with Drake. That's really how impressed I've been with Drake. I think they could. Yeah, I think Drake could pull off the win at Rutgers.
And put him in. If Rutgers went to Iowa to play Drake, I would bet on Drake. I honestly say that.
John, what about the other three teams? Oh, especially this other team here, the Bonnies. I think we all kind of discussed Xavier and UConn already.
I think it's a little early only because the resume does not have a lot on it, which is not the Bonnies' fault necessarily. It's just I think they are that good. I just don't know that I can prove it yet. So I would lean towards somebody who's got more wins like a LSU or a Carolina or a Rutgers. I know they've all been like way up and down, but I think in a month I'll go with the Bonnies, but I think not yet.
How about this Rutgers profile now? When you look at it, two tier one road wins, the home win over Illinois, who you love, and no really bad losses. I mean, the Michigan State was a blowout, the loss, but they avenged that big time tonight by 30 points at home. Would you go Rutgers here? Or would you prefer LSU or the other team, one of the other teams you mentioned?
I like to keep the boss happy. Let's go with Rutgers.
David, what do you think? The Bonnies or Rutgers for this last on the night line?
Rutgers, but to look at the Bonnies, when you look at them and their profile was just on the screen, the one thing that you can conclude is they're hard to evaluate. just because of the lack of teams, and it's not their fault, but, you know, it's not a lot of under the radar teams' faults that they don't have. You know, it's not Drake's fault that they don't have tier one wins. They've won all the games they've played. So if we're evaluating them the same way we evaluate everyone else, I can't get them up here yet. I do like them. I think that if you follow under the radar, the story that we always tell, it's unfortunate they haven't had more chances. But Rutgers has, and they've passed them. And, like, if you have a team with the wins and one that's not, I think you got to go the one with them. But the Bonnies are sort of in this range about, just maybe not all the way up on the nine.
I'll tell you what, you're up for the 10 line, David. Do you want the Bonnies there?
I don't think so,
okay,
yet.
Well, it's going to be 14 for the 10 line then.
Okay. One is Maryland. Okay. And again, they're a little bit schizophrenic. They're all over the place. They top out pretty good. Another is Seton Hall, who – you could make a case that they belong out, but, you know, there's a case that they belong in. And my next two are – I don't like anybody on my 10 line. Colorado State and Boise State are my next two.
I agree.
I like those picks, actually.
Yeah.
It's time to do a Mountain West pairing. And had Boise held serve had they beaten Colorado State last night, I would have – Boise State a couple of lines higher, and Colorado State maybe not in the field. The fact that Colorado State pulled not just an upset, but looked really strong in doing it was not a fluke. They pretty much led that from start to finish. I think pairing them together for now makes a lot of sense. Boise State still leads the conference standings, but Colorado State got the big win yesterday against them. And so I think they meet in the middle, and the 10 line's the middle.
John, let me ask you about this. Colorado State there on the left, three tier one wins now, two of them on the road. And they're Seton Hall on the right, a very strange profile two real losses in a row here that's kind of making you hold your nose, especially the way they completely fell apart yesterday against Creighton.
I'm glad you showed the Colorado State resume, because the key is they have three tier one losses on the road, and that's it. Like, I understand they haven't played any tier two opponents yet, but I like the tier one. I think that this is the kind of thing where it's one thing to talk about them, but this is something you need to visually see what it's like. As far as Seton Hall, man, they should have beaten Villanova on the road, which would have changed their entire season. I think that I could go with the Rams above the Pirates, but so close.
Okay, but would you, how about this as a four line group here though? Maryland, Seton Hall, Colorado State, Boise State. Are you with it, or do you think that we should pull Seton Hall or somebody else out of this line and put somebody like the Bonnies, or I know you mentioned LSU as well in?
To be honest, if you're going to put an undefeated team on the 9 line, I think we're going to see another undefeated consideration on the 10 line to see if Winthrop is really in this category.
All right. Let's do the Winthrop debate very quickly here. Let's pull Winthrop up against – let's pull up against Seton Hall.
They snaked it out again tonight. They aren't doing what Drake's doing. They're not
– let's pull up against Drake. Let's pull up against Drake then.
Well, they are winning, and I will them that.
Yeah,
as someone that has watched – because, again, every night Winthrop's on – we turn it on because they're undefeated. And I realize, again, similar to the Bonnies, their schedule isn't their fault. They do have, I think the women at Furman is at least solid, although Furman's been a disappointment. When I look at their three best wins, and when these happened, when they beat Greensboro and Little Rock, basically within a 48-hour period, I was like, oh, my God, here we go. Well, those teams have kind of let them down. They're not as good as we thought they were. They're not as good as I thought they'd be. And everything else is down in tier four. And a lot of it is, you know, a 4-point win against Asheville tonight, barely beating a really awful Campbell team. So what I see is a team that essentially wins, plays against by game level competition and barely beats it. I don't want to crap on a team that hasn't lost a game. But if you ask me if I think that they're at all the same as Drake, they're not. Chad, yeah. You watch under the radar.
And let me throw this in here on Winthrop here. They have road wins. They are the three worst teams that they played this season are their road wins. They sweep the games at Radford coming up at middle of February, and there's a few more games that are missing from the schedule here that because there's been a lot of rescheduling in the Big South. So that's they got more games than the three more there. But
yeah,
here's a number
up
here. Here's a number up here as well versus the board. That is their record against teams that are at least under consideration. 0-0, and they're not going to have any. They have no game scheduled. They will not play anybody that's going to be under consideration. Drake is also 0-0, but they're going to get Loyola Chicago twice. Loyola Chicago is a team that we might be discussing here as at the end of the show. And Missouri State, was actually on. Quote unquote, my quote unquote board of teams under consideration until they got swept by Drake, and that's what knocked them off of the board. So,
yeah, I hope Winthrop can get a couple more out of conference games against decent teams because they could be a metrics booster. Mm. But to be honest, I had Belmont ahead of Drake, ahead of Winthrop.
Okay, well, let's
look at Winthrop's schedule. You know, there's only three games left, there's huge gaps, a huge 2-week gap after the game tomorrow night.
Well,
they try to fill that with something, you know, something that of heft. I think there are teams out there who'd be willing. Hell, if there's a COVID cancellation in the ACC, for instance, you know, that's within drivable distance, they should call up and say, hello, please.
I'll give you a couple, Joby. First of all, Villanova is off. Villanova was off this the other night because of UConn. They have a little bit of room. Western Kentucky's weekend series is off.
I'd call up. Get another under-the-radar team that is competing for net large.
Let's try to get back to this 10 line here. Joby, are you okay with this with David's 10 line?
Yeah, I am. Even though I had the Bonnies, I can see the argument strong enough to where those four Maryland's got to watch themselves with their overall record, but they have a top profile.
Look at that number one strength of schedule for Maryland.
But they have a four. There, you don't look good if you're four games under 500 in your conference, even though it may be the best conference, and your overall record's got to get up there. And so Maryland, I'm not saying kick Maryland off, but Maryland's got to watch the, you know, check themselves before they wreck themselves, as the old cliche goes.
All right. 9-8 overall, only 8-8 against D1 because they did have one non-D1 win.
That's not a recipe. They can't go 500 the rest of the way out. They've got to win the games they're supposed to and then pull off. You know, they cannot afford to slip up at home against any of those teams. Unless they win without a Nebraska and Penn State, they have the Northwestern. They have the opportunities to get well inside the field. And guess what? they will move to the top half of the field if they win the games they're supposed to on that schedule, as in the games at home, except maybe Ohio State or Minnesota, and all of those road games, because all of those road games, except for Rutgers, stink.
I was going to say, whoa, not all of the road games, but Joby, why don't you give me the 11 line here?
All right. Let's do, I think LSU, I think that's a worthy mention. All right. Bonnies, because I said him three lines ago. Why don't say him now? LSU Bonnies. I don't mind that. I don't mind talking about Winthrop right now, to be honest, but I'm not going to say him quite. All right. Stanford. We don't know the results. I don't even know the score right now, but
they're
Stanford,
up four at halftime. Yep.
Yeah, that's right now, as of right now, Stanford. And I'm going to go with the other Carolina team, North Carolina, not Winthrop yet. Sorry. But John, Winthrop would be maybe my next team.
John, what do you think of these four teams?
Not bad. I would not guarantee the Stanford win just yet. And I would look at a team like San Diego State, who already has a 30-point win tonight over a decent Wyoming team who has a winning record.
But yeah, that's who I had. Getting close. I'm not that big on LSU.
Okay, I'd like to pull it up because I'm not that big on LSU either. So let's pull up LSU versus San Diego State as the replacement team for them on this line. Because, you know, David, here's kind of the question I have with LSU is, where are the wins against teams that are in the field or even have a shot at making the field tonight? I'm looking for them and I'm having a lot of trouble finding them. At least with San Diego State, UCLA, Colorado State are in the field already.
Yeah, there's that. Another team to look at. I like San Diego State. Another team to look at is Indiana.
Yeah, Indiana. If you're talking about teams in the field, Indiana has those. They do.
Yeah.
And they have a Maryland issue, but not quite as even severe, you could argue, as Maryland with the overall record issue. But this is the problem the Big Ten teams have, and Big 12 to a lesser degree, have with the lack of bye games. If Indiana, you could have loaded four more games against IUPUI, you know, and come away with four wins, and they'd be sitting at 13-7, it would be no contest, we'd say Indiana's in the field, and they would have been listed already a few lines earlier. But this is just the difference of what COVID's done. And their schedule coming up is brutal.
Yeah,
Indiana will either be in our field or out of our
field. True. Like there will be no questions on them.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me go back to John. Yeah, do you want to make the case why LSU belongs in over San Diego State and Indiana, who we've just discussed?
So you talked, Chad, about the wins of Arkansas and Ole Miss, who I agree are not yet in our field, versus these Indiana wins against teams who are on the board, as it were. I mean, does it matter, or do you focus more on the board? I don't know what your priority is.
Well it's kind of, but it's the win at Iowa that when I look at Indiana, that just goes.
That is the cherry on top. I'll give you that.
And the stinker on the bottom is Northwestern now. So when we thought Northwestern, by the way, we thought Northwestern's a tournament team. You know,
there was 1 week where they were amazing.
And this was part of the reason why.
Yeah.
But of course, it was Michigan State and Indiana. Indiana being where they are right now, 11, 10, 11.
Very true.
Michigan State, who I will fight to say does not deserve to be in this field.
Okay. Well, Joby, David wanted LSU out of this line. Do you want LSU out of this line, or do you think?
I'm fine with that? Even though it was my line.
This was your line.
I've been convinced on the Indiana component. Let's do Indiana instead of LSU. Would be with mine.
Okay. Well, put Indiana in instead of LSU.
LSU's next.
Okay. I'll tell you what then, Joby. That was your line. Then Tytel, why don't you give me four more teams here? This might complete the field. It might not, depending on who you give me.
I'll give you the three on the right. So let's put them on to the 12. Fourth, thank you. I think that this is getting into hold your nose territory, but I mean, I didn't like the St. Louis loss either, but like I had them comfortably in the field a couple days ago. So I don't think we can drop them from comfortably out like that.
Well, by doing that, we actually still have one at-large bid spot left because Winthrop would be good as an automatic bid qualifier.
And David, I've got a team for you. Here it is. Loyola Chicago.
No.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's start before we get to a fifth team, David. Let's start with these four. Are you okay with these four at this point?
I don't have Winthrop quite this high,
but Winthrop being an automatic bid team,
does it,
whether having that 47 or 50, it's not going to change.
Okay, yes, I'm okay with them then. Okay, I'm okay with three of the four. I didn't have Winthrop quite that high.
Joby,
yeah, the next team I would mention would actually not change things up either. So,
okay, would that be Western Kentucky?
That would indeed be Western Kentucky.
Interesting pick.
I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and put Western Kentucky in. They would be the automatic.
I'll let someone else. I have another team, but if others have a burning desire for the final team, I'll
tell you what, David.
Well, we need to look at them all. Throw them out there, dude. That's
all right, well,
part of the exercise. Yeah.
Providence. Okay, so from David, I have Loyola Chicago should be our last team in. From Joby, I have Providence should be the last team in. Titel, who do you think the last team in should be?
I think Toledo should be under consideration, but I really like Loyola Chicago.
Toledo, if we did put Toledo in, by the way, they would be an automatic bid winner out of the Mid-American. We'd still have the same problem. So if we put Toledo in, I still think we need another team from you. So I say let's leave Toledo. They'll be number 13. They'll be on the top of the 13 line. And I have two votes for Loyola, one for Providence. Why don't we take a look at those two profiles?
Yeah.
Because this would complete our field, whichever of these two teams we go.
Loyola Chicago just doesn't do it for me.
Because it's so similar to Drake's top.
Well, they haven't been doing what Drake's been doing, you know, which is be undefeated.
It's not a little bit light. If you like quality of wins, I think you go in the right. If you like overall record, I think you go in the left. Is that what we're looking at?
Yeah. One of the things that got me, I think the wins at Bradley are a little bit better than what they appear, just because Bradley's been pretty solid at home outside of those. To Joby's point, I can't say that it's as good as wins at Creighton or at Seton Hall, but that is a lot. That is a bulk of losses against.
Now that I'm looking at Providence, they're on the road. Butler's not good. Butler's not good. But you know what?
Yeah.
Losing at Indiana State or losing at Butler, I don't care if one's a two and one's a three. I think though, or actually, they're both two. You think it's a three looking at the sheet because Providence has so many in tier one, but look at the ones. Villanova, one's line. Alabama, two lines. X is wearing white. Creighton is the four line, right? And Indiana, we just put in. I can't, on a neutral site, I can't really get mad. You know,
Joby makes a good point. I don't want to admit that I'm wrong because I'm never wrong, but he does make a good point.
Well, I'll tell you, what about Arkansas? If you want to look at overall record, if you've got to look at overall record of Loyola Chicago, shouldn't you be looking at Arkansas before then? Isn't that a little bit better?
If you want to hurt your eyes.
Auburn win, I will say, they are better with Cooper. I mean, I'd be even talking about Auburn possibly post-Cooper being back. But they won at Auburn before Cooper was back. And so I'm not on the Arkansas train. I think that they are a paper tiger. At one point, they were what? You know, that they were what? Like, you know, 11-1 and we're going, and it was by pure strength of record, and they haven't been playing as well. They've lost to good teams in doing so, but they haven't beaten good teams to do it, because I don't like that Auburn win as much as it says tier one next to it, because it's not a true Auburn would not be 59 net if Cooper wasn't back. He's back and they've made some big wins. So now they're a 59 net. Should not ride that.
Well, John, you were on the Loyola bandwagon here. If I was doing a blind resume right now, I kind of wish I had. I think all of us would probably lean towards the Arkansas profile right now. You know, are you still on Loyola? Do you want to go with David and Joby now on Providence, or go to Arkansas, or go somewhere else?
I have gone for OAR all night, but in this case, I'm going to go with non-conference strength of schedule, which is Loyola, and non-home court hero, which is Loyola. 5-2 on the road versus 2-3. Mm-hmm. I understand that they're not playing at Alabama and stuff, but the numbers are the numbers.
All right, then I did hear two votes for Providence, one vote for Loyola, so Providence will be our last team in.
Valpo and Vanderbilt both start with a VA, so that's equal.
Arkansas, because we're going to remain under consideration. Before we go up to the rest of the teams that fill the 13 through 16 lines, what other teams do each of you think are close to being in that did not make it here? John, let me start with you.
Oh, Who's close?
Who would be the next couple teams? If they decide to add four more at-large bids and make the field 72, who would be the next two teams in, for, is kind of what I'm saying.
I think we've actually got most of my field. I would say maybe the next best team in the Big 10 or Big 12, but...
I mean, you might be talking... I mean, had TCU pulled off the win tonight at Kansas, we might actually have been talking about them tonight, quite honestly. But David, how about you?
Yeah. Well, a couple of teams that I'd kind of like us to look at. One of them is going to be in the field, but they're an interesting case is Toledo.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We've mentioned them a few times. Let's go ahead and pull the profile
up. Yeah. Up within the at-large state. Yeah. You know, if they continue to do what is a solid MAC, you know, I think Bowling Green is a good team. I think Kent State's a good team. If they continue to do what they've been doing, then you have to.
I'll tell you what, Joby. They have a pair of what I'm going to call fake tier one wins. They're 73 and 75. Those two teams drop three spots. Those all become tier two wins. Right. So it's there's a quick look at this as, oh, wow, two tier one wins. And then you look a little deeper and it's really three tier two wins.
Yeah, I don't know if they have a path or not, but if there is one, it's narrow and they basically have to win out. But this is a really good Rockets team. They're one of those teams, and we see this every year, that ends up on the 12 line because of what their paper is. But if you were picking a team, like if you had to bet on one or the other, you'd probably bet on them to beat everybody on the 9, 10, and 11 line. Very much like a Liberty or a New Mexico State or some of the teams that have landed on the 12 the last time we had a tournament. Another team I want to look at, Chad, that I didn't have in the field is VCU.
Yes, I agree with that. Yes.
Okay, let's go. I'll put them over here as well.
And a nice little win against a team that I was also going to mention doesn't deserve to be in the field, but discussing.
So yeah, it takes a minute to load. So everybody talk amongst yourselves.
That's VCU, David.
Oh, that is VCU. Yeah. It's pretty. I mean, it's pretty flimsy. The one thing that stands out to me is just other than Rhode Island, they really have kind of held serve, and I kind of like the wins against Utah State and Memphis neutral.
Yeah,
but still work to do. Yeah. Definitely work to do.
I think we should very briefly mention here. SMU did get the win tonight, although they swept Memphis this week, would have been a lot better. Yeah. But I think SMU is still on the board here as well. They could really use a tier one win at Houston coming up this weekend.
If they beat Houston, I think they'll be in much better shape than they are now.
It's actually missing the Memphis win. That Memphis win should be in there, and that would be another tier two win.
And even though they lost outside the, you know, in their games against Las Vegas, I think Utah State, because the Mountain West has so many teams that are, you know, we have three in right now. And Utah State's the fourth out. And I don't disagree with that. Utah State should be out. But Utah State, I think, because of the wins over San Diego State and Colorado State, if they take care of business, I think they will bubble themselves, so to speak, up, while others, maybe North Carolina falls flat on their face. Or, you know, there's going to be teams that do. Maybe Colorado State, Boise, or San Diego State fall on their face on the way. You know. So I think that we have to look at Utah State, but yes, right now they are not in the field, but I think the under consideration category is perfect for them because they could find their way in.
So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to go ahead and reveal the 13 through 16 lines. As I mentioned, Toledo at the very top of the 13 line. With you, David. I think a few more wins and they'll probably be pushing into that 12 line. But still, it wouldn't actually affect much other than, you know, one line in the seed. On the seed list here. Belmont, who escaped a win tonight against Austin Peay at number up there along with South
Carolina. Trailed for most of that game,
Liberty. We're looking at East Tennessee State, Siena, Cleveland State, UC Irvine, Navy, all the way down to Coppin State. David, we're not doing these teams real quickly because we hate them. We're doing them, if people want to find out more about those teams, what should they do?
We discussed all of them last night on Under the Radar in depth. We love these teams. We're not ignoring them. It's just that they get their own show. And if you want to watch it, it just keeps scrolling down a little bit.
Yep. So all the way down to Juan Dixon there in Coppin State, our last team in.
Yeah.
But on that note, I want to run through each of you. Any other final thoughts of what we did tonight or any other thing you want to mention, bring up tonight? Let me run through each of you with that. And Joby, let me start with you.
Well, we have to look at domino effects. And I talked about last week, and we're going to see, did the Utah State loss, as we just were discussing, loss to UNLV, begin a domino effect that hurts the Mountain West? Because if those top four in the Mountain West had only beaten each other, I think, yeah, three is a very realistic number. But if, as the more and more the teams outside that front four chip away at that, give them losses that are tier three in many cases or worse losses, you could see all of them. Well, all of a sudden Colorado State gets a tier three loss. They're not at 39th. They're on the edge, if not out. Well, then wait a minute. Well, if Colorado State's out, does that mean Boise's any good because it just lost to them? So it's these conferences really need the A-10, the Mountain West, those sort of conferences need to make sure their top teams don't stub their toe in a ridiculous fashion. Like, for instance, Richmond, a team that maybe should be on the under consideration list. Oops, you lost to LaSalle. You're not even listed. You know, that's the point.
Absolutely. Good point. John.
So my bracket thought is that one of the effects of COVID is that not everybody got to play the regular schedule. So correct me if I'm wrong, but Colorado usually plays Colorado State as an in-state regular season non-conference game. They did not play this year, so I assume that means they can meet as a 7-10 game, correct?
They could meet as – they absolutely can meet as a 7-10 game, and it would –
conference matchup, Chad, the front range.
But they didn't play during conference season.
It
would actually count towards the front range standings here. Let's get them up on the screen real quick here. This is the standings of the front range. That's not it.
That's not the front range.
There it is.
There's the front range.
As you can see, Colorado State hasn't even gotten a front range game yet. They're 0-0. Colorado 1-0 right now. But, we're waiting for the Colorado State-Wyoming games to see who wins the front range this year.
So my non-bracket final thought is actually on the women's game. I want to give a shout-out to the Arkansas women's coach, Mike Neighbors. He's only 2-5 in SEC play, but it's where he stood out was non-conference play. He beat Baylor last month, and he beat UConn tonight. Think about that. Kim Mulkey, Baylor coach, has won 3 titles since 2005. Gino's won 10 titles since 2000. All these people do is win NCAA titles, and he beat them twice in 2 months. All I can say, won't you be my neighbors?
David.
Again, some teams it seems like once you get below the 6 line and maybe even the 7 line, it seems like it's a big drop off to where you're kind of grasping at straws. But it's kind of interesting to see the Mountain West with, while no one really in the top half of the bracket, we put 3 Mountain West teams in.
Yeah, we did put 3 Mountain West teams in, and we could have put a 4th in.
Yeah,
we mentioned if Utah State had just beaten Vegas the other night, they could have been the team there instead of Providence at the last spot in.
Yeah, what is the record for most teams in the bottom half of the bracket that a conference has ever had?
We need Sleeka for that one.
He would know it. He would know it.
On that note, though, if you do want to check out the final bracket, you can now look down below us. It is down there. You can take a look at how the matchups came out. But on behalf of Joby Fortson, John Titel, David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We're back again next week with a whole slew of podcasts, including another bracket rundown that might be a different format next week, but we'll be doing another show again. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again real soon.